my goodness, I didn't know that I was going to have so much fun. So why don't we continue listening to this good piece of radio work done back in the late 90s, okay?
I believe women can preach, but I don't believe they are called to be pastors.
Yeah.
All I can say is pray for them and keep telling them, like you're doing today. Keep putting the word out. Keep telling the truth, and hopefully somebody will listen.
Thank you, Pastor Ladd.
Okay.
God bless, brother.
Bye.
All right. That's our first call, and let's go to the second call and see. Now we have Jenny calling from La Cañada. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Pastor Coleman.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Well, I just want to tell you that my church, the church I attend, it's Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, and we are definitely in full agreement with you that God has not called women into the ministry, and that's...
Now, that is the church of Dr. John MacArthur, Jr., this individual that I've been having some back and forth with for the past 3 or 4 years, because he doesn't even remember when he's come in personal contact with the Christ of the Bible. So here she is saying that, well, and most fundamentalists would agree with what the Bible says, because most fundamentalists, especially intelligent and smart fundamentalists, as Dr. John MacArthur is, would have to make sure in the original context of the language, the Greek, that this is so.
MacArthur.
Yes.
Church.
Now, some would say, Jenny, well, you have a strong pastor there, and if anybody speaks out against Pastor John, they'll be ostracized. And what would you answer them, Jenny?
No, I wouldn't say that. I feel that everyone who goes to Grace Community Church has, I think we get very solid biblical teaching, and we are all convinced that there is nothing in the Bible that authorizes women to pastor, to be ministers and pastor a whole church. So we are in full agreement, not just because Pastor John says it, or that we are afraid that we would be opposed. I mean, we would be opposed if we opposed him, but it's right. Biblical truth.
Really?
Nah, that's what I like about Reform people. Reform says it don't matter what the pastor says, we're going to go with what the Word of God says. See, that's what Dr. Martin Luther was all about. And I'm not speaking about Martin Luther King. I'm talking about the Dr. Martin Luther. We'll talk about King at another time.
Call, Jenny.
Okay, sir.
Thanks, you now.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Now, that's two calls.
Ah, you see, right. Pastor Jenny, Jenny comes from a church that affirms the fact that women don't. They go on the other side. Women do not fit in the pulpit.
Milford missed the point. Jenny didn't say that. Jenny said that the Word of God said that. And Jenny also said that it wouldn't matter what Dr. MacArthur said, we follow the Word of God. So that group of people follows sola scriptura. Now, Milford is speaking with forked tongue because he knew. Now, listen to me very closely. He knew that when that statement was made, that the people in his camp, that the people that he knows, that the people that he runs with would not have understood that, meaning that Milford would have said it quite differently. Now follow the argument very closely. Know this again, that I have not heard this radio presentation since I first recorded it. So I'm in mystery, just the way that you are as you listen.
Pastor would say that on radio. Now, a pastor that's on radio saying that women should not be in the pulpit. Now, one of his parishioners would not have a fear of calling because he's already publicized.
What is the implication of Milford's statement? See, Milford's statement is that if the parishioner didn't hear her pastor publicize it, that she probably would have said something else. You see what I mean? That's one of the fallacies in logic that I teach, and I shouldn't listen. I'm laughing. I don't want to laugh at Milford. Let me continue to play this.
And this is my stand.
This is my stand because that's my pastor's stand. See, I knew that he was coming from That's illogical, but he felt he had the right to say it.
You don't have to ask permission for something like that. He already said it. You only say what he already said.
See, and so he's saying that she doesn't have the sense enough or the intelligence enough to know what it said without him saying it. You see what I'm talking about? So what this man is saying incognito is that all these ignorant people in the church are going to listen to their pastor because that's the essence of their mentality. Well, I'm going to say it because he said it. Well, how come she couldn't say it without him even being born?
My point was that there are many, many churches here that have a certain protocol.
So, since the church has a protocol, he is suggesting that the member does not have the capacity to know or to believe anything on their own without the pastor saying it. You see, if I had thought that in the booth while he was saying that, I would have cut him off immediately. But since I was playing the game and allowed the enemy in that booth with me, it did me well. Listen to me, believer. When you know that God has told you not to, that's how come I don't cohort with people that I am nothing alike. That's why I don't go to those churches anymore, because most people in the church talk like that. Now let's continue to listen to Milford's argument.
You expose your pastor, you tell him what you're going to say. Now if you don't know that your pastor don't affirm women, what are you going to say?
You're going to say what the Bible says. I'm going to answer that before he continues to talk. You're going to say what the Bible says. If I don't know what my pastor believes about that and somebody asks me, I'm going to go to the Word of God and look it up myself and determine for myself what God has said through this, since I believe that the book is a Hagios Biblos, inspired by the precious Holy Spirit of sweet Jesus. That's what I'm going to believe, Milford.
Always in fear that you'd make a mistake and say the wrong thing.
No, wait. What do you mean it's fair that you make a mistake and say the wrong thing? Do you see what this man is saying? And just let me be just very truthful with you. People, I ran across this kind of language most of my life from most of these cotton mouth liars that call themselves ministers making a statement like that. And let me tell you something. The other man in the booth, Zerich Reamer, he has never made a statement like that. You better listen to what these people are saying. Stay online. Milford is trying to read into why this woman would not have said the same thing if her pastor wasn't heard on the same radio station that we were broadcasting on. And that is a limited mind atonement to me. In other words, God has atoned to you a limited space of intelligentsia. Because only a fool would speak like that. But wait a minute, let's continue to listen.
If it is indeed a mistake and it's the wrong thing, now you got a second set of problems.
Now he's psychoanalyzing the people and saying that the people have a second set of problems because they didn't answer the way you thought that they should answer. And let me tell you something about the AME church, since we own this, because that's where he got his master's degree. Well, he got his master's degree from the same institution that I did. See, both two men can graduate from the same institution, from the very same institution, and have two different agendas altogether. You better hear me on this. You see, you don't know how serious this conversation is getting now. You can go to the same graduate school. You can go to the same, man, you can go to SC, UCLA, and everything. But when you get out there, if God has not filled your heart with his truth, you are going to speak Beelzebub bull crap. And I would never host a radio show like that. Now, I got to tell you the truth. I was sitting in the booth that night. I don't remember what my reaction was because Milford was talking so fast, that went by my brain too quick, but now sitting in the studio, at ease in my mind and in my conscience, and listening to absolutely every word that he says, I heard exactly what I heard exactly what he said, and you guys are laughing with me because you heard it too. And I'm playing it all these years afterward. That proves my point. There's something wrong in evangelicalism.
And I would say that I don't think that the relationship, and I will get.
You see, now where I'm coming from, I was saying I don't think that the relationship with her and her pastor has to do with anything of her addressing the Word of God. That's what I was arguing with, and I was shocked that Milford said what he said. And that's why I'm responding in this way. This is a natural human way. And listen, we're paying money for this airtime. I didn't want this ridiculous conversation to be brought up, but Milford start digging a hole. Let's see how it ended up.
But I don't understand a parishioner not having a relationship with their pastor that they don't know what that pastor believes.
See, I came right against Milford. And I said that would be ridiculous for someone to be the member of that church and not know what that man believes about something, because that would coordinately let them know what church they ought to attend. I'm trying to say you got to have some kind of brains put in this situation.
The issue. I just think that that would be straining it a little bit.
Did you hear what I said? I said that would be straining it a little bit. Do you want to know what I meant by that? Milford, that's BS. That's what that is. You just brought BS in this booth. See, that's why them cats got rid of me off radio. Because they would do stuff like that. Mark Ramsey told me a lot of times. Mark told me, and I should have listened to that dear brother. He said, John, you shouldn't bring anybody in that booth but you. Mark told me that. He said, I know you're trying to help these black men in the inner city. I know you're trying to pull them up. You're trying to, you know, let them know. But don't bring them in that booth with you, man, because that's what they did. Let's continue to listen to this.
Say that I don't know what my pastor, sure you know, especially if your pastor's had a few of them strutting around the pulpit there.
Well, in that case, then you don't call and say your pastor does not affirm it, because already you see that he goes for it.
Now, do you see what this fool is doing? He is arguing for a cause that wasn't even on the agenda to discuss. He had to break down the time and to tear up the time because he knew that with the Holy Spirit leading my mind, going where I was going to uncover everything. He was sent as a, what do they call it in politics? A filibuster. Let's continue to see. They're all in the church. The evangelical church are full of filibusters. They see truth coming, looking them right in the face, staring them right down the goozle. They'll do everything they can to stop that truth from proceeding.
The pastor. But when you belong to 10,000 people, a congregation, sometimes you don't.
Why did the conversation go from does the Bible affirm female pastors to thousands of people in the congregation? Because Milford switched the topic. Milford switched the topic. I told him about it. I just didn't do it over the air. I'm too intelligent for that. I would never act niggardly over the air. But I told him about it. And you know that guy tried to continue in radio after I was forced to quit with that kind of logic? But you see, that's why I said just because you have a degree does not mean that you are necessarily trained or called to do what a person that has been called by God to do. You understand the difference? And for you young people that will be listening to this stuff because you're downloading it, and so that you can protect yourself in the church. That's why I'm doing this. I'm not doing this to try to get on anybody's case. I'm trying to show you that there are all kinds of people out there. And if God is going to use you in this new age, and I love, oh my gosh, I love living. This is wonderful to be living during this time. But if you're going to be successful, learn how to discern.
Pastor, you know the little clique you're involved in, but you really don't want your pastor, especially if he doesn't preach the word. It just makes you feel good.
In a mega church, I think that you could readily know these things. I think in a mega church, you would readily know, because you know you would be able to tell by their doctrinal statement or something. Usually, mega churches make these statements. They have them in their high echelon, and they push that. Zarek, you were going to say something?
You know, I was going to say that most of the time, especially in the classes of homiletics that I took from you, that when you're doing exposition, you oftentimes take topical issues that concern the fellowship. And being that this is something that is a wave that is going through the church in America, it would be very difficult for a person to be a parishioner and go through a fellowship for an extensive period of time and not have this occurrence happen. So the pastor, in one way or another, eventually will have to deal with the issue, because you will have individuals coming into the fellowship. There's been a couple of people over at Emmanuel that have slipped in and either out of ignorance or out of desire or whatever, had to come to the understanding that this is the biblical standard and that's what we hold to. So I can understand Pastor Milford's standpoint, but more importantly, I think that if a pastor is preaching very well and is in tune with their fellowship, he will be able to deal with the current issues pressing the church of today.
I love Zarek. I love that boy. If some of you know him, you tell him. That's why I love him. Do you see what he brought in the booth? He didn't lean on my side, nor did he lean on Milford's side. But he has the knack for radio. See, a lot of people ask, well, why does Eric start with 50 Righteous Radio? Because that's what he was on. What happened there is that the people didn't support him. He was on about the same time I was on, early in the morning. Because, you know, it's hard for a black man to get good live radio time at a good price, especially when you're talking revolutionary stuff. See, these people that own these stations know that we brothers are going to be talking some revolutionary Christianity here. Man, we talking about, hey. And so that's what was going on here. And that's what I love about Zarek's, because he, having the gift and having that tone and knowing how to bring that tone in, and he knew or knows, because he is communicating with Milford now. He's communicating with him. I just refuse to, until somebody comes to me and calls me and say, John, you know what I did to you was wrong, brother. And I'd like to come and tell you that to your face. You know, don't be coming up to my house unannounced. Because, see, I'm working in my office. And when he came up to my house unannounced, I didn't go to the front door. I didn't want to see that man. I didn't know whether he wanted to stab me. One of the last things he said to me, if it's the last thing I do, I'm not going to just arbitrarily open up my front door. Because I told those people when I was in ministry out there doing this, God gave me this to do. I'm not trying to get popular with the people. I'm not trying to be no, hey, Creflo Dollar. I'm not trying to be no damn Fred Price. I'm not trying to be that. Man, that stuff is blasphemy against God. That's blasphemy against the Islamic God. Blasphemy against the only God in the universe. What that clown is doing, so don't get PJ mixed up with that. I never wanted no money and all that stuff. I just wanted a platform to teach inner city African-American people the truth about what this Bible is all about. Now, you know, some of our children have taken this thing the wrong way. They standing out on street corners. They screaming at people, calling them names and embarrassing them and all this stuff. Them boys need a spanking. That's all they need. Beautiful little things. They just completely confused because of what the church has done. And look, please don't get me wrong. I have talked with many young men that have told me that a pastor has tried to molest them. Just right out front. Told me that, no, I don't go to church because the pastor tried to put his hands on me in one way or the other. Now, you know what? The pastor should have got his false teeth knocked out. But I'll leave that alone, too. See, this ain't about being gay. This is about being bodacious. Scandalous stuff. And I won't even go there. See? Because that's how they got rid of me. See, they accused me of trying to put my hand on somebody. Ask him, did I put my hand on him? Let's continue to listen to this.
Pastor want his people to know. I think that's right. A greater question.
Right.
Wouldn't he want his people to know exactly what he feels about that?
Right.
And also, more importantly, Pastor, I think what it does is that If the pastor has...
Wait a minute, we have a very interesting call. Let me break in because I don't want him to use the connection. We have someone calling us all the way from the country of Australia.
Now, yes, we would get calls in because we were on the World Wide Web. Listen to this one.
...on the internet. Hello, Diane.
Oh, hello.
Hi, thanks for listening.
We were thrilled to hear somebody actually come against this whole heap of rot that's getting... blasted around.
Well, you know, Diane, this isn't the first time that in this apologetic ministry that we've come against it. How does it look in Australia over there? Are female pastors prominent?
Oh, yeah, it's as bad or worse. It's just sort of a copycat situation to there. Everything's sort of, you know, most people sort of, it's the same sort of a climate. If anything, you could probably say it's worse because there's so many people that are just, they don't think about what they're listening to. They just follow along.
It's called the herd instinct, Diane. She had contact with me for about a year, and she and a group of individuals from Australia have been listening to me. And I just want to say this now. One of my young friends in Denmark contacted me not too many days ago and told me that because of my server not handling the front page extensions on the server, that means that they cannot pick up my sound pieces in Europe anymore. And so, for those of you that are listening to me in America, listen and download as much as you can, as quick as you can. Because things are getting ready to shut down. It has nothing to do with my servers that is carrying my webcast. It has to do with the signs of the times. I told you people years ago when I first started doing this, when you won't hear me anymore, God is saying that's it. Now, I don't believe that I'm going to start calling out the signs and things like that. But I will say this. That it looks like we are very, very close to the end. Because, man, just telling you about this young lad, I want you to pray for him. Because, you know, I'm going to try to go through YouTube to put the sound pieces up because he downloads everything. They have a group of Christians over there. When Christianity came to his country, not in Denmark where he is, but he's from Africa, and he said that it was all word faith, and he said that most of those Africans are caught up in word faith foolishness, tongues and everything else, and the pastors are crooks taking the people's money, and he has what I have, the spirit of discernment. And so now, how do I talk with them? Why am I telling the authorities this? They can shut down my Facebook. I'm talking with them on Facebook. That's the only way that I can communicate with them. And he says that it's a joy to speak with an older man. Well, basically, he said he wanted to see if I was the same man that was talking, because he can see me on the YouTube clips. He says he watches. He grows in his faith in Christ off of my YouTube clips. Can you believe that? Here's an African college student in Europe, in Denmark, going to school, growing in the faith of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive in heaven now, off of the YouTube clips that I put up a number of years ago. And God, in His magnificent grace and glory, has allowed me to know that. Do you people know what that does for me? Do you know what? Everything that I've done is wrapped up in that one statement. I am ready to go home. I have fulfilled my task. One person. Now I know the way that J. Vernon McGee felt when he was alive and doing that 5 years through the Bible. And I understand he only did it two times. But now I understand fully how he feels. Let's continue to listen to this marvelous historical radio program.
They don't consult their Bible. They don't consult with God. They just follow along whatever the pastor says.
Did you hear that? The Christians in Australia, they don't consult their Bible. They just follow along with whatever the pastor says. Doesn't that sound like America?
And many women are quite happy to have a women pastor because it supports their want to have power and instead of taking the...
Oh, did you hear that? That Australian female said it. They want to be the pastor because it gives the women power. Now, who are you guys going to vote for in 2016 for the presidency of the Democratic Party, huh? Who you going to do? Who you going to do? Who you going to do? What you going to do? I didn't plan this tape. I didn't know it was going to be like that. She said it. You heard it. Now, you deal with it.
Diane.
The biblically correct standpoint of being submissive to Godhead and their husbands in that order.
Sure. Diane, I have another interesting question. Are there any pastors speaking the way that you hear us speaking on this forum tonight? Are there any radio programs? Is there any Christian ministry over here saying what we're saying in Australia?
No, not that I know of. It is so difficult. It's so scarce. And because it's a little weed that wasn't squashed when it was little...
Right.
It's got such a strong foothold that it's going to take a real axe to the root to get it out.
Did you hear what she said? It wasn't squashed when it first came out. See? And you know why? Because they looked at it for money. That's why God has turned his back on us. People, y'all need to know PJ's not crazy. If you just look at these things prophetically and look at what's happening, look at what I'm doing. I'm playing a tape that was made sometime back in the 90s, 1999. And now it's 2015, and look at where we are. Look at how we think. She said it. When it came out, it should have been squashed by someone that said, that's not in the Bible, it's not biblical, that's heresy, and we should come against it. The Muslims come against mess that come against their faith, don't they? Don't the people in Islam do that? You speak about the Quran. You speak about Muhammad. They will have you hung out to dry. And rightly so. That's their religion. They have a right to do that. What do we do here? Let's continue to listen to this.
Absolutely. Are there small groups of people over there that are coming to realize that is not biblical?
I can't say for sure. It's a big country and the population spread out a lot, and it's very hard to find people that are actually prepared to take a stand.
And so what Diane is saying in Australia, and I knew this back in the late 90s. That's why when I was preaching, you see my clips on YouTube, and I'm telling the people, y'all better lighten up because this thing is coming to an end. I could see it prophetically when I read that Bible. I can see it all take place, all right?
In public.
What's...
So it's sort of like picking gold out of a heap of dirt.
Sure. What city are you calling from, Diane?
I'm actually calling from outback Queensland, far up north, past
okay.
Cairns.
I see. You know, it and, is a... Go ahead.
My parents were over in the States for 8 years.
Yes.
And I was born there. And they were called of God to rebuke exactly what you're talking about now with women in ministry.
Wonderful.
And whenever they spoke about it and stood up about it in church, various churches over there, they were knocked down like that they were touching God's anointed.
See? She's a white girl from Australia. Her parents came over here for 7 or 8 years, and whenever they spoke against it, they were knocked down. See, the real saint is going to be knocked down. It's not particularly strange to me about my life. Sometimes when I have a self-endorsed pity party, I think about it like that. But when I get serious about it, I really do not let it affect me, because it happens to all Christians. That's called suffering. What did the Bible say? If any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but to glorify God on the behalf of that suffering. And I'm going to tell you, no sinner will ever glorify God for having to suffer for Christ. He can't, because Christ does not belong to that sinner, only a believer. And the suffrage that they have coming on you now is that, I didn't collect the amount of money that I was looking for.
There's a lot of things, you know.
Yes.
So-and-so is anointed, and don't touch them, and don't speak against them, sort of thing. Like, sort of a superior thing where you stick them up on a pedestal and nobody questions them.
Of course. You know, Diane, and that's what we're praying for. We're praying for this ministry and the attitude of this ministry to spread worldwide. And that's why we're so grateful to God that even, you know, persons like yourself can listen to us over the web. Because
yeah.
we need to get this message out. There are many of us out here. And what we're, as a matter of fact, what time is it there in your country right now?
It's around about 6:30, but it's still daylight because we're going into summer and it's long, long days.
Boy, that's wonderful. Listen, just share with your friends that we're on and that they can hear us over the internet, because as many people, you know, many people need to hear this message. There are a group of Christians here that are firmly committed to the Word of God. And what we must do, Diane, is continue to proclaim it, even in the face of many that oppose it. Some of the pastors would like to speak with you.
Well, hi, Diane. This is Pastor Talbot. I wonder how did you come upon us on the internet? Is it from our website, or you're just looking at the radio station?
Now, why do you think Milford asked that question? I mean, I'm serious as a heart attack. You can see Satan working. The conversation was that this message is to be spread throughout, and so others can do that. And the thing that Milford does is he comes in and he asks, how did you find out about this? Not knowing that Diane and I had been communicating through our computers for a while. That's why I interrupted everything and said, wait, we have a call coming from Australia. I didn't expect her to call, but she was a person that I, as a pastor, had been dealing with over the internet, like I'm dealing with this young man in Denmark. See, but I don't come to the church and tell all these people my business. It was a ministry that God gave me. I was encouraging them. Why did he ask that question? He asked that question to sabotage the spirit of the radio presentation. That is what the devil have always done. That's called subterfuge. And when that statement came in, if I had been a real dude, I would have got up and hit him in his blibber lips. But let me let you hear this out.
I don't actually have your website, no. We're listening to you on KKLA, and we just sort of listen to the programming that's on there and pick the meat off the bones.
Okay, well, let me give you our website number and so that you can get that. We're simply called intotheword.org. And yes, that's intotheword.org, O-R-G, and you would be able to find out everything about us, who we are, and what we do.
And I will say that that is not my website now, so you don't need to go there. And if you go there, you're going to find some other ministry, and it's not me.
Well, that's
great. Are you denominational?
Yes.
Are you denominational?
We are non-denominational, but we are Episcopal in nature. We're the Anselm Episcopal Bible Church. We're kind of like Episcopal.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what that word means.
Well, Episcopals, you know, that was Milford's gig. We got together and he said, well, you know, we ought to become Episcopal because in this, the bishop makes all the decisions. He and I wanted to be decidedly not Baptist folk because Baptist folk think that they own the building and everything else. And I didn't give a hoot who owned the building. I had a message to get out. So all this Episcopal stuff and all that stuff is just stuff that you have to do when you're in ministry. And no, there was no 501c2, nothing like that, because I wouldn't sign my name to anything like that. That's why we rented buildings for a month, and then we were out of there. One guy told me, when I quit, he says, yeah, well, I'm tired of running around being a gypsy church, because you had us like a gypsy church. I said, what do you mean by that? If you wanted a building, you should have said, I would have said, go on and buy one. I'm not. And I'm not going to tell you people to buy no building. Okay, and so, you know, Episcopal, you have the pastors. In case one pastor went crazy, you had a straight pastor that's going to run the church the way it's supposed to be ran, biblically. See, that's what that's about.
I'm sure my parents know.
Yeah. Well, listen, Diane, we're praying for you. Wait a minute, Ken has a question for you.
Hello, Diane, how you doing? I looked at the message board, and it says that you're 17 years old.
Yep.
Would you mind sharing with us how long have you been studying your Bible?
Well, I've been a Christian, born-again Christian since I was four, so I couldn't read then.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm just really touched about your knowledge and your candor that you have expressed over the airwaves.
No. The question was a leading question. You people have to know that. Think with me. Why was that important for him to know how long has she been a Christian? And how old she was? Why did he have to mention that? Why is that so extraordinary? Why do evangelicals ask questions like that? I would have said, I only 17. The reason that I ask is because of this. It's extraordinary. There's not very many 17-year-olds that can really hold a conversation. No, not in our community. You dang straight. But did you hear him have a follow-up with why he did that? Maybe he is. Let's listen.
Just want our listeners to listen in here at the States of a young lady who is 17 years old. Into the Word and is affirming what the Word of God says and not what experience and all of this mumbo-jumbo that is going about. We just really thank you for your Word and the knowledge that you have.
Well, thank you. Can you prove me wrong? I stand wrong. I just couldn't understand why you asked the question then and even now after all these years. But you so rightly explain yourself, and that is why Brother Jones was in the booth with me.
Yeah, well, I thank God for it because it's not my knowledge. It's what he's revealed
right.
to me.
Praise right, praise God. Through his word.
And I'm a very stubborn person by nature, and I get a lot of flack for it, but I don't care because I think that God gave me that nature to use for him. If it's used against him, then that's something to be ashamed of. But if it's, you know, remember, Elijah was really, he was so down, and God said, hey, you're not the only one, even though you might not know where they are, there's There's 7,000 men that haven't bowed the knee to Baal.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Milford?
Yes, Diane, I've just been reminded that we have a link. If you're looking at the KKLA website and you go to Weekend Magazine, Saturday Weekend Magazine, you can click on intotheword.org and it will get you straight to our website. You don't have to log off and go back.
Right.
So if you want, you're right. So look under the Saturday Weekend Magazine in the KKLA website, and you'll find intotheword.org.
Right.
And yes. God bless you. It's Sunday over there already, right?
Sunday? This is Saturday.
Oh, no, Saturday it's still evening. Saturday evening over there.
Around 6:30.
Okay.
Tell your friends about us now.
Well, Diane, thank you for listening in and continue to listen. God bless you. We'll be praying for you.
Do you,
yes.
Go ahead.
Do you have email?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Once you get into our website, it'll give you our email address, and you'll be able to send us email.
It was a good call from Diane from Australia. I remember a lot of other things about this caller and her family. Yeah, it's good to go over this again.
Yes.
Okay.
All right then, Diane. Thank you very much, dear. God bless you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Boy, what a great call. All the way from another country. Man, God is good,
isn't he? Australia. And you notice, Pastor John, when we looked on the screen, it said that she was 17.
Yeah.
And she was home churching.
And weren't we talking about that?
And see, you can understand why. See, everybody here in the States, and I keep telling people,
right.
you know, the pendulum of God's wrath is slowly getting to America.
Right.
And a lot of people don't see it. They're into these mega churches, into these big colossal buildings, and you have the true faithful Christians that are, they're not about numbers, they're not about status, they're about faithfulness.
Right.
Now, here you have a 17-year-old girl that said she was home churching because the churches over in Australia have just gone into the mental abyss.
And listen, she has, listen to this, she has and spoke with more conviction than most folk in America that would call this radio station.
Right.
You see what I mean? You see, and that's the kind of Christianity that I grew up in, where people had conviction about something. What we do today is we have this intellectual ascent of the mind. But then when tomfoolery comes in, you know, it's just like Milford brought out, well, you know, we don't want to rock the pastor's boat. No, we don't. We want to sink it.
Right.
People, you got to realize this. It is not about the pastor. It is about God. We were speaking in our office about home churching. Right. I was saying this, Milford and Ken, I was saying this. Because most of you that's been listening to me know that I've gone full circle. I was in Congregational Rule Church, and then I was in an Elder Rule Church. Thought all the elders, okay, brother, we're going to... And now I'm in an Episcopal Form Church. After that, I just told my staff I'm going to home church because there's nothing left. Man, if this church does not come back to a sense of responsibility to God and to His Word... There's no sense to play these games with these fools out.
Right. It's like that's the last end of my song when you were listening to the Kushak's theory stuff. Right. Y'all going to bust hell wide open.
See, that's what finally brought me to the conclusion that it's time, John, to get out altogether. That's what the resignation was all about. This was a journey. A journey that didn't just take place in, you know, a quick fix. No, this takes time. Take some intellectual thought and some planning. Time.
See, when you get to that point, it's all over with.
Right.
There's nothing else left. My goodness, a whole hour. Listen, we've only had about 3 calls for some good solid churches.
I didn't get seven. I did not get seven. And so, now you know what shape we in today.
Are you guys willing to call in and say, Pastor John, we've heard about the discussion. Well, when we come back, we're going to get into 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. And we're going to get into where it says, Nor should they usurp authority over the man. I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man. So when we get back after the 1 o'clock break, we'll share more of this. And Diane, we know you're listening down there in Australia. From the world down under, keep on listening, dear. God bless you. Stay in the Word.
Wow. You know what that's saying? That thing said just right up front. When you look at that, man, I was on from 12 to 2 in the morning. 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning. We got our radio staff up to do that. Well, listen, I'm going to pause right now and find the other part, and then we're going to try to finish that program, and then I'll finish this webcast with some closing thoughts.